Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
By the way, we do not have it finalized yet, but we're getting closer by the minute. We may have an interview with Geddy Lee from the iconic rock band Rush either tomorrow or on Friday. Yes, Rush announced that they're getting back together. They're going to be doing a tour with a new drummer since Neil Peart died a couple of years ago. A woman, by the way. The drummer's a woman from Germany, and I watched some videos of her this morning. She is ridiculously good.
I mean, nobody's going to be Neil Peart.
No, of course not.
I mean, he was
the greatest.
The greatest.
He was the GOAT.
So that's okay.
But what you don't realize is that there's more to it than just the reunion tour. Geddy Lee is going to be in town on Saturday. So he has a new coffee table book out called 72 Stories, and he'll be signing his book at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Something else you don't know, if you go to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, you will see a ton of signed baseballs. All these baseballs were signed by players who were in the Negro Leagues back in the day. Those baseballs were donated to the museum by none other than Geddy Lee of Rush.
He's just like a collector of sorts.
He's a huge baseball fan. He collects signed baseballs.
Fascinating.
And I guess the way Bob Edwards from The Rock told it to me this morning, and he's a huge Rush fan, Rush was in town a handful of years ago. Geddy Lee, during their downtime, decided, hey, I'm going to go tour the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. He fell in love with it. And decided, well, you know, and they're from Toronto. And when he went back to his home in Toronto, he basically collected all of his Negro Leagues signed baseballs and mailed them to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
Awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Super cool.
How long could you do nothing?
54 years.
If you had to just sit and do nothing, could you do it?
Like in total silence, no TV, no
books?
Yes,
nothing. Just nothing. Just be. Just be. I would gnaw my arm off.
10 minutes.
Where am I?
Yeah, if I'm at the beach, we could go hours.
Yeah.
Just am I laying on the couch?
No, just sitting at home. You don't have a pencil. You don't have your phone.
So basically go analog like the 20th century where you would just sit and think.
If I am at home, 2.7 seconds. If I'm out in the sticks, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Quoting here from Gen Z, doing nothing is a lot harder than I thought. This is putting a lot of effort into being lazy. Generation Zers have devised a new way to mentally detox from omnipresent digital distractions by undertaking challenges. The challenge is doing nothing.
Meaning don't sit there and aimlessly scroll, don't.
Although they're showing this in TikTok clips with thousands of views.
Oh, of course.
The practice involves, Scott, staring into space, sans entertainment, sleep, or other distraction, to give yourself a respite in an age where everyone is glued to their screen.
You'd be surprised how many influencers out there make their living off of TikTok and Instagram with reels and TikTok videos, and their niche is... or niche, or however you say that word.
Niche.
Is
niche.
Telling people how bad sitting on TikTok and Instagram is. I'm not even kidding you. These people make thousands of dollars a month, a week, telling people to stop watching their videos.
In a recent series of videos, a self-proclaimed productivity influencer conducted an experiment where he just did nothing for an hour each day to try and fix his attention span. He explained that he'd been struggling with a short attention span due to constant dopamine hits from my phone, caffeine, sugary foods, video games. This gave me such hard time to focus on my work and the things I really care about, adding, he felt he needed to have his brain wander off freely without any simulation.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of work, he ended up saying at the end of it.
Doing nothing is a lot of work?
Nothing.
For the younger generation, it is, because we have filled their lives with so much stuff that they think they have to continuously engage and do things and have activities and be online and do all this stuff. And it's like, no.
You have to keep in mind, if you were born, and I'm going to give the number 2004. If you were born 2004 or later, and maybe 2002, you never knew what boredom was.
Right. You always had something to do.
Correct.
And you had parents rushing you around to all the games and all the events and everything. And your life was constantly filled with stuff. And what we did when we were younger, back in the last century, we just kind of sat still and thought.
I always hated it. It always made me very uncomfortable just having nothing to do. I always wanted to be doing something.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Just sit around and do nothing?
You sit and you think?
We didn't have phones, is what he said.
Right. There's no distractions. You just exist without all of the noise and chatter and the calendar and rushing around and doing stuff.
But we had sports.
We had softball.
Boy Scouts.
Yeah, but Scott, back when we were growing up, we had softball. That was it.
To Dan's point, I used to get together with my friends from the street to go hang out, and we would sit.
From the what?
The street that I lived on.
Oh. In the hood.
In the hood, yeah.
The neighborhood, yeah. Anyway.
Continue.
We would hang out and, like, ponder things. You know what I mean? Like, a thought would come up and somebody would ask a question and nobody had the answer, and we would ponder it for like an hour.
A study out of Texas A&M University found that boredom actually serves a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We need it in our lives as a psychological signal to seek new experiences and grow as people. Boredom reminds us we better get up and find something else to do. Boredom is good.
What would you and your friends ponder, Sam?
Well, anything.
Keep in mind, and I've actually had this experience many, 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 many times of late.
Like
all of the times that you say to yourself, man, I wonder, and then finish the sentence, right?
Yeah.
Now, with modern technology, when you're having that conversation with someone or a group of people, somebody pulls out their phone and they go to Google and they answer the question immediately.
You're right. You don't even have the conversation. You can just look it up.
You can even do that with complex philosophy.
You hey Siri it.
Yeah.
Or,
hey Siri, talk to me about the Bader-Meinhof effect.
Or you don't have to ask your friends, do girls have cooties?
Right.
You know, you can look that up yourself.
The deepest thought I've had all day, and I'm not kidding you, this was when I was on the walk today.
Wait. I'm glad I'm sitting down for this. I'm sorry. The deepest thought you had all day was what? I am dialed in. Go ahead.
Does it have to do with the drummer?
This is going to be profound. I want to be paying attention for this. Go ahead.
You want to know the truth?
Yeah.
This was when I was on my walk. What are you laughing about, Giggles?
I know what's coming.
Deep thoughts.
My deepest thought so far today was, if I fart and it doesn't stink, does that mean I'm hungry?
Okay. Do you want to know my deepest thought?
That's fascinating.
Thank you, Dan. Let me sit down for this.
We had a colleague who was arrested on a very serious charge this week down south.
Devin Lucci.
And he happens to only have 9 fingers. And I cannot stop wondering, when you fingerprint someone who is missing a finger, what goes in that hole? What goes in the square when you don't have a ring finger?
They mark it N-A, not
That's
available.
Actually a fairly deep thought.
Thank
much
you, Sam.
Deeper than Scott's.
But it...
Why I want to hear from a fingerprint taker.
Flatulence when you, to hunger.
When you do the little roll thing, I need your thumb here, and then I got this one, and then that, and then you come across, and then the little piggy in there. What do you do with that on the fingerprint card?
I think I'm with Dan. You got to put NA, not available.
Or do you cut it out?
It's already been cut out. 913-586.
I never asked him why he was missing a finger. This is a whole different topic. Why is it that when there is something obviously different, not worse, better, or otherwise, but just different, and it's obvious, like someone that you work with for 7 years just doesn't have a finger, okay? Why is it that you cannot just say, hey, what happened to your finger?
You never thought to point it out?
I've done that. We had a sales guy here who was missing one of his middle fingers, and I asked him what happened.
What happened?
He lost it in a lawn mowing accident.
I asked my grandfather the same question. By the way, U.S. Navy vet who served in war. Hey, how'd you lose your ring finger? Lawnmower.
This Survived is the kind war. Of stuff that they
that
used
yard
to contemplate
work will get you.
Before yeah, cell phones.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here out of a tiny town called Chase, Kansas. With just over two more weeks left, one Kansas high school is canceling its football season. USD 401, that's the Chase School District, announcing that the Chase High School six-man football team was forced to cancel the rest of their season due to injuries. Chase High School is 0-4 so far this season. They were scheduled to play their rivals Cunningham at 7 o'clock on Friday night.
Oh, that makes me sad.
The regular season was scheduled to end after October 25th, with the playoffs starting after Halloween.
More schools are doing this because of injuries.
The USD 401, which is the Chase School District, has 145 students.
I know, but Scott, this makes me so sad because that is such a unifying community event, the Friday Night Lights. Big towns, small towns across America, and especially in the smaller towns, that is the town's entertainment. You all go to the football games.
They have a population of 389 people.
Well, they're going to have to consolidate.
By the way, am I wrong that, and I think this is accurate, that they have changed, and I think this was done years ago, that every school, regardless of your record, makes the playoffs now in the state of Kansas?
I do believe that is correct,
bracket,
yeah.
A bracket, just a bracket system?
Well yeah, like even if your team finishes 0-8, right, you don't win a single game.
Okay, you're going to the playoffs.
You're still getting into the playoffs.
You're going!
I think that is one of the cruelest things I have ever heard of in my life.
Just like the standard bracket, if I remember correctly, the 0-8 team
plays the number
the
1
8-0
team.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1 plays 8, 7 plays 2, yep. 6 plays
but
3.
Every once in a while...
No,
you know,
never in a while.
It might happen once.
It never happens.
It would be the stuff of town lore.
But I remember, like, when we were younger, you had to actually win games to make it to the state playoffs.
Yes.
And
you had to play your way in.
I exactly. And I remember a handful of years ago, there was a team in Wyandotte County, I don't remember which one it was, where they were terrible. They had a really bad season. I think they were 0-8, 0-9, whatever it was. And they got lopped in with like Mill Valley or something crazy.
Yep.
And the final score, if I remember correctly, was 73-7. Now, why?
Well.
Why? I mean, you're
to give everybody a chance to say you went to the playoffs.
And you finished the season not 0-8, but 0-9.
Well.
Because you're that bad. I mean, when you're sending them into literally a wood chipper to get beat. I mean, you're fodder for a Mill Valley or, you know, name your big time school here in town. And you're just setting these kids up to fail. I think it's cruel.
But if you ask the kids if they want to play, don't you think they would say yes, Scott?
No. If you knew.
We're going to get our butts kicked, but we're going to do our best.
Okay, but your best is 73-7. I mean, and on Friday night when they're running the scores on Channel 9 or Channel 5, mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed. We just got smoked.
Anyway. But, you know, maybe it could be town lore for the next 150 years if they happen to win.
Sam.
I know.
They're not going to win. More flights were delayed across the country today for a third straight day as the FAA contended with more airport staffing shortages amid the government shutdown. One of the airports hit with delays today was Reagan National in Washington, according to the FAA. The agency also ordered a reduction in the number of flights in and out of Orlando and Newark Liberty International Airport, one of the three major airports in the New York City area. This week's staffing shortages began on Monday when air traffic controllers started working without pay due to the shutdown. Within the last 48 hours, delays due to a lack of air traffic controllers have also been reported in Boston, Burbank, Chicago, Denver, Houston, Las Vegas, Nashville, Philadelphia, and Phoenix. This could all be solved. I'll repeat myself from yesterday. And I'm not getting political.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
We have decided.
If Congress would come back in session.
They are banning
I agree the with phrase, Dana on this one.
Not getting political, but Sam and I had a discussion, and if you had been at your desk, you would have been in on this discussion.
I was downstairs trying to make money for the company.
Yes, when I hear you say not to get political, but I want to find a window and jump. That is my first thought.
There are four behind you.
I know.
They're all sealed.
They're all sealed, don't paint.
We can fix that.
We were joking about this in the newsroom today. I go, I don't think we should ever be allowed to say it on the program again.
Okay.
Not to get political. But. All right.
I have a solution.
Okay. What is your solution?
That Congress comes back into session,
okay.
Which they are currently not.
Okay.
And they immediately pass a law that says air traffic controllers are exempt from the you're not getting paid because of a government shutdown.
I do believe we should.
And I think for soldiers
should,
as well.
Be paying our, they are essential capital E.
And I have capital some all swamp letters. Land in Alaska.
I know.
But I mean.
Available for sale.
But seriously, I mean.
My dad used to always say, I've got swamp land in Florida to sell you. And I never understood that. Because you might actually have swamp land in Florida.
That is correct.
Most of Florida is indeed swamp land.
Yeah. But no, I'm being serious. I mean, there was a story, I can't remember which network I was watching this morning, where there are air traffic controllers who are actually not calling in sick because, you know, they're mad that they're
right.
not getting paid right now, and they'll probably end up getting back pay at some point, maybe. But they're calling in sick because they can't afford the daycare.
Oh, wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't send my kid to daycare if I'm not getting a paycheck.
Correct.
And so they're calling in sick, not because they're sick, but they can't afford to send their kid to have somebody else look after them while they go to a job where they're not getting paid. And I think it's only humane, decent, that the Congress gets back into session, and again, they're currently not, and they immediately pass a law that says soldiers, check that, I don't want to, all members of the military, active duty, and all air traffic controllers get paid shutdown or no shutdown. Period. End of story. These are essential, to you, borrow your phrase, Dana, with a capital E, and I would argue every letter in that word is capitalized. They are essential workers. We absolutely have to have them. And air travel in this country is a major driver of our economy. Not just for the airlines, but for the people who are on the planes going to do business. So air traffic controllers should be paid regardless.
Okay.
And
we should run things.
We should.
Right?
You should not be allowed to ask me if I want a receipt or a car wash at a gas station if the temperature is below 34 degrees.
Or any other question that comes after those questions.
Exactly. See, the world would be a better place if you and I were president and vice president.
What? Coming up after the break, a Lawrence remodeler sent police for a whirl.
I know.
What he found behind a piece of drywall and put it in his truck and started driving. What did he find? We'll tell you.
We've been over this, people.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson is addressing the underwhelming opening weekend box office for his new film, The Smashing Machine, which
it was incredible.
We did see it. T and I went and saw it on Sunday, and it is absolutely fantastic. However, it was the lowest opening weekend in Dwayne Johnson's career. It only made debut weekend.
Okay.
$6 million.
Oh, ouch.
$6 million.
Now, there's a lot of things that could factor into that. I didn't see a whole lot of promo for it.
That's true, Sam.
No, that's true. And I will say, I can believe that it was only $6 million because we went in the middle of the afternoon on Sunday and it was...
Private showing.
It was all but a private. There was two other people in the theater.
It's also just, we've talked about this many times, modern movie watching is not in the theater.
What did they find in the walls of a home, Sam? We've been over this before, people. When you find a grenade, you do not pop it in the minivan and drive to the police department with it.
Lawrence police did not appreciate it when they got a call from a man who was in the 900 block of Iowa Street saying he had a grenade sitting in his passenger seat. That man who made that phone call about 1:30 p.m., said that he is a home remodeler, and he was in the area working on a house. He pulled a piece of drywall away from the studs, and sure enough, there it was. By the way, even labeled grenade.
Who puts a grenade in drywall? Labeled grenade.
Pin in it and everything. It's one of the round ball grenades. You know what I'm talking about.
Like from World War II?
Yep. And... police responded, told the man to pull over, get out of his vehicle immediately. Bomb
they had to shut
had
down
to
the street
from Leavenworth so that they could dispose of it properly.
They had to, who from Leavenworth?
The bomb squad.
Lawrence doesn't have their own?
Probably not.
Lawrence is a much bigger city than Leavenworth.
Well, but that's kind of a specialty.
Police did say that the grenade appears to be one that expels gas and rubber balls instead of metal shrapnel. So
that's good.
That's good. Got that going for him.
Huh.
I'm telling you, the number of times that story is in our stack, that someone is cleaning out a house and finds Grandpa's old World War II grenade... picks it up and drives it to the police station. You know when they do that, they then have to evacuate the entire police station. We've had police departments say, do not bring, if you find something.
Yeah, we don't need it.
Do not bring it to the police station.
So he pulls the drywall, sees the grenade, grabs the grenade, puts it in his truck and starts driving.
I would run.
I wouldn't put it in my truck.
Yeah, at what point did it click in his head? Well, maybe I should probably call the cops.
Really? Click is the word you want to use? Talking click, about boom. A grenade? Click, click, boom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. American workers say they are drowning in busy work, and it's draining productivity, fueling stress, and even pushing some to quit. This is according to a poll of 2,000 white-collar workers and 1,000 IT decision makers. Results showed, I know the three of us have a rather unique job, and so it's not the same as, but think about your typical office space job.
Okay? Yep.
What percentage of time do you think of on-the-clock time do you think workers spend...
actually working?
Well, or doing what is described in this story as tedious, low-value tasks like copying and pasting, managing emails and data entry?
40%.
Higher. 51% of their day is spent doing something that really isn't
secretarial crap.
Productive work.
Yeah.
Okay. One in three respondents say they have considered quitting their job because of outdated or frustrating technology. And a similar number, roughly 33%, believe that their current work technology is contributing to feelings of stress.
If you are one of these people, let me give you some very sound advice. Learn to use AI. You can complain about it all you want to. They're just going to make AI do it. Learn to use AI. You will get the work done so much faster. You'll impress your boss. Hey, how'd you get that done so fast?
Well, there's a story. Hang on. Where is it? Oh, that a growing number of people are using ChatGPT or AI in court.
Yeah.
And it's working.
No, you cannot ChatGPT your legal arguments.
They are winning. So listen to this. This is from NBC News. Lynn White was out of options. Behind on payments for her mobile home in Long Beach, California. She was facing an eviction notice. She had no money for a lawyer. So she accepted a court-appointed attorney and lost.
Okay.
But White wanted to appeal. She decided to consult ChatGPT, having previously used AI to generate videos for her small music production business. She thought it might be able to help in the legal arena, too. Quoting here from Lynn White, after using Chatbot and an AI-powered search engine called Perplexity to help represent her in court, quote, "It was like having God up there responding to my questions." White regularly provided ChatGPT with documents and detailed information about her case. The chatbot helped White identify potential errors in a judge's decision, chart out possible courses of action, research applicable laws, and draft responses to the
court. Come on.
Several months of litigation later, White managed to overturn her eviction notice and avoid roughly $55,000 in penalties and more than $18,000 in overdue rent.
You remember the story a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so, where the judge berated some guy.
Yes. It might have been in the UK. That was a lawyer that got busted doing it.
And he created his own video chatbot where it was a guy, you know, the perfect stubble, the hair combed over, and he sat there and actively asked questions or answered questions that the judge asked, and it was completely AI. Which, by the way, I had a conversation with the CVS pharmacy yesterday, an entire conversation.
You said totally AI. Our boss did the same thing.
With an AI chatbot, and it wasn't like the, you know, say one of these seven prompts.
Tell me in a few words how I can help you.
No, I asked a full complex question, and it said, give me a moment. And then answered my complex question.
Ooh, I don't like that.
How did you know you were talking to AI? Was it that obvious?
Because it was talking. It said, give me a moment.
Okay, all right, got it.
Yeah.
And was it right?
I got my prescription.
Wasn't for what was prescribed.
Yeah, I mean, that was birth control,
it was Zentrex.
Zentrex. When I walk down the street, people cross.
Would you live in a haunted house?
Yeah, why?
A Halloween auction of the real-life Conjuring home has been canceled, marking the latest twist in the property's eerie history.
But do you believe in that stuff?
I believe in bad, energy.
Like bad juju?
There could be bad energy in a home. A planned Halloween auction of the Rhode Island home that inspired the terrifying Conjuring movie franchise has been canceled weeks after comedian and paranormal fanatic Matt Rife revealed his desire to buy it. The eerie 8.5-acre Harrisonville property had been scheduled to go under the hammer in the mortgage's foreclosure auction at 11 a.m. October 31st.
Halloween.
Yes. However, the auctioneer says the sale will no longer be taking place. They didn't give a reason why. So here's the deal. Rife is that comedian guy with the square jaw, right? Like gorgeous comedian guy. He had previously expressed interest in buying the house after already purchasing another Connecticut home that was once owned by paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren. He's just one of these guys that loves that type of thing. It is a log cabin looking beautiful property. But if you just said to me, like, the thing is haunted, there's Raggedy Ann dolls sitting in a corner in a chair.
Well, that's to make it look haunted.
I know. I think it is creepy. I don't know that I would live in a property like that.
First of all, I would live in it because I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe in haunted houses.
Until you do.
You don't believe in bad energy in a house. Not haunted, but just bad energy. Like if some bad, you know what, went down in that house.
Like a murder?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's what I know. I've watched a couple of these paranormal TV shows, and I can't get those 30 minutes of my life back.
They're pretty bad.
And they're like, wait a minute, did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Why are they whispering? Are they afraid the ghosts are going to hear them?
But that's the problem, Scott. If you lived in a property like that, every single time there was like a creep, like, wouldn't you be like, all right, what was that?
Well, but every once in a while, even my house was built in like 2011. Every once in a while, I'll hear a little creak. I just think the house is settling a little bit.
The Warrens at one point were called to investigate this home, and they said, quote, my mother began to speak a language not of this world.
Okay, whatever.
In a voice not her own.
Okay.
Her chair levitated, and then she was thrown across the room.
Okay, and was any of that, so they were investigating, right? So I'm sure that they were rolling tape the entire time.
I don't know.
Especially when the chair started to levitate.
The house looks haunted to me. I don't know that I could live there.
There are tons of documentaries from Ed and Lorraine.
What?
It's a business.
The Exorcist movies.
Well, but The Exorcist was found to be a hoax.
913-586-7-
What's the... Amityville. Amityville was found to be a hoax. 913-586-7798.
586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you missed the news today, the final New Orleans jail escapee, remember there were 10 who were let out back
in
May.
Were you rooting for him in sort of a really bizarre, awful way?
Yes and no, and I know what you're getting at. No, because he was wanted and had actually been convicted of second-degree murder.
Yeah.
So this is not a good cat.
You did sound a little dejected when you heard he had been caught.
I mean, when you make it 5 months, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Anyway, Derrick Groves was taken into custody at a home in Southwest Atlanta. So he had originally gotten out of the jail in New Orleans. It was believed had gone to Texas with one of the others. He has an amazing job killer tattoo across his neck. And
when will these escapees learn?
Yeah.
Stop with the neck tattoo. Further.
Well, do you know one of the reasons he was able to be on the lam so long, if you will, is because he had help on the outside. And his girlfriend
allegedly
has also been charged.
Yeah.
I believe that's aiding and abetting, ma'am.
Not that I want to give tips to escapees, but why are you in a city that's only a few hours from the jail from which you were let out?
Well, no. I mean, Atlanta's not anywhere near New Orleans. I mean, who are you, Dana? With a map? That's three states away.
Okay. It's still pretty close. Why wouldn't you go to, like, I don't know, Portland, Alaska, Mexico?
Maybe. Story here from the Star. Students who recently filed a lawsuit against the Lawrence Board of Education claim that district staff retaliated against them by pressuring journalism students not to report the lawsuit. The lawsuit centers on a monitoring software called Gaggle, which the district began using in November of 2023 to scan students' emails, documents, and other files on their digital devices as a means of mitigating harm to students and keeping them safe. The students claim the software has instead subjected them to unlawful round-the-clock surveillance and violates their First and Fourth Amendment rights. The students are asking a judge to approve a preliminary injunction that would order the district to allow students to report on the lawsuit. No ruling has been made as of yet.
What's that old phrase? Giving up liberty for safety?
Gives you up neither?
Yeah.
You end up with neither. That's right. And Taylor Swift fans are used to scouring her videos and social media posts for hidden messages about her albums. But after the release of The Life of a Showgirl, some Swifties have said that their hunt for clues led them down a rabbit hole of speculation around whether AI was used in a series of promotional videos for her album. The 12 videos were part of a promotional scavenger hunt released by Google, which sent fans on a search for 12 orange doors hidden across 12 cities around the world. On each of the doors was a QR code revealing video clues to the puzzle, which pieced together a phrase that fans needed to search through Google. And now some fans are wondering if these videos attached to the QR codes are fakes.
Fakes!
It's a cult.
It is not a cult.
Birthdays today. Bruno Mars is 40. Matt Damon, the actor, is 55. Nick Cannon, the father, is 45. Sigourney Weaver is 76. Chevy Chase is 82.
Wait, Sigourney Weaver is 76?
Chevy Chase is 82 and looking every day of it. And Robert Bell, a.k.a. Cool from Cool and the Gang, is 75. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, finest man in these United States, Sam Stevie III. Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. See you tomorrow. Be safe. Be well. And be good. Dana's favorite song, by the way.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.